Watch Podcast. I'm Aaron Berger, a Nebraska Extension beef educator. For today's Beef Watch Podcast, we will be discussing an article that Dr. Carla Wilkie wrote for the September issue of the Beef Watch newsletter titled, Dry Edible Beans as Livestock Feed When Hit by Drought and Hail. Thanks for joining me today, Dr. Wilkie.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Dr. Wilkie, in western Nebraska, it's been a challenging one from a dry edible bean production this year. First, we had a canal collapse back in July, and that resulted in many of the irrigated acres of beans that folks had planned on irrigating, not getting the irrigation water they had hoped for. And then also, we've had some widespread hail events that have impacted these beans as well. Those two things have brought up a scenario where, in some cases, producers may be evaluating if these beans can go to harvest, and also might be in a scenario where if they harvest these beans, they're not going to be the quality that they need to be to go into the human food market. Share with our listeners some of the options that are available as they think about these scenarios with dryable beans and how they might fit into a feeding situation for cattle.
You're right. So it's a rough year. And any time that we have a human consumption crop that has anything go wrong with it, it cannot go into the human consumption market. So there may be some beans that are unacceptable for that this year. The first thing that people need to understand about dry edible beans is that they contain a compound called lectins. And lectins are a type of protein that if you do not properly denature them with heat, they can cause intestinal wall damage and they impair digestion and nutrient absorption in the animal. And they can create immunosuppression issues. So it just means that it suppresses their immune system and they can't fight off infections well. So because of that, it impacts the amount that can be fed to beef cattle, but we can still use them. We just need to be very careful about using those. So that's kind of the first thing right off the bat that we need to be careful about. So if a producer were able to harvest their dry edible beans, but then they were not acceptable standard for human consumption, and so now they've harvested this crop and they need to figure out somewhere to go with them. One of the things that is nice about beans is they have great binding characteristics. And so sometimes when we're making a pelleted feed out of something that is high in distillers grains, distillers don't make the best pellet all by themselves. And they're kind of crumbly pellets. And so adding something like beans or peas helps bind that, make that a little harder cube or pellet. And so there might be the possibility of selling beans to a feed manufacturing operation. And the heat from the pelleting isn't actually enough to denature those proteins. But if you're using them as a binder, it's only like 2% of the cube on a dry matter basis. And then that cube might only make up 20% of the animal's diet at that. So that would not, that amount of beans in the diet would not impact animals any, but it might give the bean producer a market for those beans if they could make a deal with a feed manufacturing company. There might be an option to sell some of those beans to a feedlot. We have quite a few feedlots in the Nebraska Panhandle, and they might be able to include some of those. But those beans can really reduce intake, cause poor feed efficiency and gain. And so there's been research done on how many, what percentage of beans could be in a finishing diet. And so those really need to be included at less than 2% of the dry matter in a finishing diet to try to avoid some of those things. So wouldn't be able to incorporate a whole lot into a diet from that standpoint. Growing calves, usually on a roughage diet, and they seem to be able to tolerate more beans on a roughage-based diet than on a corn-based diet. And so a research study here at the University of Nebraska years ago noted that somewhere between the 5 and 7.5% of the dry matter diet you could include in a growing diet and without having too many issues with them. And so probably with cows, which would also be on a roughage, high roughage diet, you would want to include them in that same region.
As we think about the protein content on these beans, what might we be expected to get in terms of nutritional value as we think about just using these raw beans and the protein content?
So the protein content on that bean is usually pretty good. You know, it's usually 15% or so. So it could be used as a protein source for maintaining a beef cow or for adding a little protein in a growing ration. The concern would just simply be making sure that we didn't go over that threshold that's going to create a lot of diarrhea or calves kind of going off feed.
So one of the other things you mentioned in the article is there is some value in the actual forage of the bean itself if folks are in that situation, although the forage produced is not very much. Give a little more detail on how that might be a feed resource.
So let's say you didn't even get to go clear to harvest with the beans and you've just got this immature forage bean crop that's out there. And, you know, actually we do feed a lot of bean straw in the valley after the beans have been harvested, then that leftover straw we feed. And it's a little better quality than wheat straw, and it's palatable. Cattle really love it. So in the case of the immature bean, we actually did some research here a few years ago where we evaluated some black bean plants that received a frost before the bean was actually mature enough to harvest. And so we just evaluated that whole plant and found that it had a dry matter disappearance, which would be similar to TDN or total digestible nutrients. So kind of the energy value of it was 66%, which is very good. That would be higher than a lot of our hays. The crude protein on that whole plant was more like 11.5%, but that's certainly acceptable feed for a mama cow, and even in a growing ration could meet their needs there, or at least part of it. So that immature plant might be salvaged to some degree. The problem with that is, as you mentioned, not a lot of dry matter out there in the field at that point. And so I think a person would want to be very cautious in evaluating the cost of swathing and baling and moving bales and things like that before they did that. And I'd be a little cautious about grazing a field that still had all the beans it was developing in it, because I'm not sure that you could limit them enough, even with mob or strip grazing, to maintain that level of bean consumption properly. The bales could certainly be blended in with some other feed, and then you could control that better. But one, we need to make sure that the cost of going out there and try to salvage it is makes sense for what it's going to cost to go get it. And number two, that the insurance company would actually allow that, because sometimes they don't, you know, you have to get permission to use that crop for an alternative use than what you originally intended.
Anything else you'd like to highlight on this topic as we point towards wrapping up?
Not really, other than, you know, we need to watch the cattle that we do feed these to. And if we do notice any digestive upsets or any changes in feeding behavior or anything, we may need to make adjustments in the diet. So you just need to evaluate what we're doing pretty closely to make sure we're not causing issues by feeding too many lectins.
Well, thanks for joining me today, Dr. Wilkie.
Thanks for having me.
For more information on the article, Dryable Beans as Livestock Feed When Hit by Drought and Hail, please see the September issue of the Beef Watch newsletter. This can be found at the beef.unl.edu website.